dozens of construction projects across Greater Cincinnati will bring major change to nearly every corner of the region this year. What will these multi-million dollar developments mean for the places we call home? This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss some of these projects and their impact are Cincinnati Business Courier Editor-in-Chief Tom Demaropoulos. Thanks for being here, Tom.
Hi, Lucy. Happy to be here.
Great to have you. And Cincinnati Enquirer Real Estate Enterprise reporter Sydney Franklin. Welcome back, Sydney.
Hi, Lucy. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming into the studio. Tom, the Business Courier chose 20 developments to highlight as projects to watch this year. How did you pick? What criteria did you all use?
So, Lucy, this is the ninth year that we've been doing our projects to watch at the Courier, and we come together as a staff and talk about kind of the different developments we've been tracking throughout the year, and we really try to pick things that are, you know, just about to get started or haven't quite gotten started yet. And the other thing we really look for is, in addition to like size and dollar amount, we are looking for projects that are going to change the area around them. So projects that there's opportunity for other people to maybe develop nearby or to look at existing buildings and see if there's something for them to look into.
Yeah, some kind of domino effect stuff going on.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, Sydney, you had a top 10 list of projects to watch in the region this year in the Enquirer. What factors did you consider in making that list?
Very similar factors, but just slightly different in that we choose projects that are either nearing completion this year or are pretty much structurally impressive enough from, you know, early days of construction last year on, so you can actually see the almost finished product. We are looking at economic impact, size, dollar amounts, but we'd like to diversify the projects we feature year to year. So you'll see we don't have a lot of repetition from year to year. There's only one that I featured in 2024 that's on the list this year, and that's Covington City Hall.
Okay. Okay, Tom, a development that's getting a lot of attention right now is Hyde Park Square. Explain what's involved in that project.
Yes, Lucy. So this is a project that is looking to really reshape, might not be the right word, but enhance Hyde Park Square. And a development team of PLK and a couple other partners, their partners North Point Group and the Loring Group, all came together and, you know, acquired essentially most of the property south of Hyde Park Square, and they're looking to densify it. They're looking to refresh it, and this plan is big, and this is big because Hyde Park Square is such an iconic neighborhood business district in the city, so it's getting a lot of attention because it's near and dear to a lot of Cincinnatians. But I think this development team understands that, and they're trying to be mindful as they figure out exactly what the final development plan ends up being.
A neighborhood council survey in Hyde Park found hundreds of neighbors have expressed concerns about building height. Talk to us about building height and how that's part of the project.
Yeah, so I think one of the things that people want to make sure is that what is developed there fits in with the rest of the business district. And there's kind of some back and forth between the development team and the neighborhood in terms of, well, what does that look like? And I think from the development team side, they're looking to match what's existing on the square. And there are some taller buildings nearby where they want to build. So I think that's kind of the idea here, is that they want to stay within the realm of what's already been set as precedent in Hyde Park Square.
We're talking about Greater Cincinnati's biggest construction projects of 2025. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Sydney, talk with us about the former Saks Fifth Avenue building in downtown Cincinnati. What's happening there? Because there's a lot happening there right now.
There's a lot happening there, and I walk by it every day on my way to work at the Enquirer by Paycor Stadium. I live in Over the Rhine, so it is, you know, on my way. And right now, it's pretty impressive. This old department store that was beloved by so many people. I mean, I used to shop there as a kid when I visited Cincinnati from Louisville. It closed at the end of 2022. And the city kind of stepped in, asked 3CDC to redevelop it. And what they put together is this, you know, reimagined space that has offices on the top floor as well as room for a restaurant and commercial. So we've heard that Paycor is moving from Norwood downtown into this space, and that's still going to happen.
Okay.
They have recently told us.
Next question.
Yep. They've recently told the Inquirer this. And then Salazar is actually opening a restaurant on the base floor. So that'll all be happening around this summer. So watch out for that. Also, they've just made this old big brick building so much brighter. You can already tell the windows are in. It's going to look really impressive.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you mentioned Paycor, because Paycor recently announced it's being acquired by Paychex, this company that's based in Rochester, New York. But Paycor says, no, we're still moving downtown.
That's what they said.
Okay.
We got to hold them to that.
Okay. Tom, tell us about the massive student housing development near the University of Cincinnati.
Oh, so Lucy, this is a project that, you know, I've been keeping an eye on probably since I was a student at UC. So I lived in Calhoun Hall, and I remember when that property south of Calhoun was being acquired. You know, the old Acropolis Chili was there, and writing about Taco Bell going away. And I was thinking, you know, during my years at UC, I would see that all be redeveloped. And it's been a little bit since I've been at UC, graduated in 2007. So we're finally kind of seeing the completion of that redevelopment with a lot of student housing. So UC has been really unique in its growth in terms of enrollment in recent years. They're just smashing enrollment records year after year, which has been really impressive. And the other thing that UC is changing is it's not as much of a commuter campus as it used to be. So you're getting more students and better students, and students who aren't necessarily from the region. So what do they need? They need a place to live. So UC has kind of taken it upon itself to build additional student housing, and they are looking at two massive projects. We're looking at a dollar amount here of $326 million. Just an incredible project in terms of size and scope to help with that enrollment surge that they're going through.
And Tom, I have to say, with the last name Demaropolis, I'm really glad you got Acropolis Chili mentioned. I feel like... Well
had
done.
To.
Tip of the hat there. Tip of the hat. Do you have a sense, Tom, for what residents near the university think of the project? There's no doubt UC needs more housing for all these students, but there can be that kind of town gown tension.
Yeah, definitely. So that part of Cincinnati has seen a really big change in you know, in the past decade or so. The demand for student housing is going to continue to grow. So does it make sense to build it in a building like this that's closer to campus, right up against the university, versus moving more into the neighborhood? I think in my thoughts, it's a better idea to get it closer to campus as opposed to pulling, you know, taking away more of the existing housing stock in those neighborhoods, put it right next to the university. It's going to be better for the students. It's going to be better for the neighborhood.
Okay. Again, we're talking about Greater Cincinnati's big construction projects of the year. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call, 513-419-7100, or you can email wvxu.org. Sydney, you highlighted a different UC project. This is an indoor practice facility and performance center. Tell us about that.
Yes, this one's been kind of a long time coming. So as we know, University of Cincinnati joined the Big 12 Conference in 2023. So this is kind of part of their effort to level up, I guess, and attract the quality of athletics students that they are looking for. So they're building like an 84,000 square foot facility that not only includes an 120-yard football field for, obviously, practice for the Bearcats, but it also includes a three-floor performance center. So in that has all the things you can imagine that an athletic facility needs. But what's cool is if you drive by it, it's got this really insane facade with like a jagged, I don't know, shape to it. It's very, very striking. And I have to say that only the educational institutions around town can pull something like that off.
Well, and this is a complete curveball, but this reminded me when you were talking about attracting athletes, will there be anything to help an NFL player rescue a Super Bowl ring from a vat of chili if that happens again on UC's campus? Because that was a bit of a crisis, wasn't it?
I guess, yes. Yeah. And I guess all I can say to that is theoretically, like, if they get strong enough, using the, you know, training center, they can, I don't know, find a way to,
yeah,
hold their breath for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Tom, you have any thoughts? Ring retrieval?
I don't, Lucy, on that one.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, you, both your media outlets talked about Xavier University's new osteopathic medical school. Sydney, tell me about that project. Why is that such a big deal?
Well, first of all, they can claim that they're going to be the first Jesuit osteopathic medical school in the country. And in Cincinnati, in the greater Cincinnati region, there's a shortage of doctors. So I think the idea here is to, you know, put Xavier University on a pedestal, excuse me, to where they can, again, be attracting more students and, I don't know, become somewhere that people from all over the country want to go to school to study medicine. So this facility is $109 million, 130,000 square feet. It's kind of in Evanston on the edge of the university. It'll include a simulation hospital, 16 exam rooms, lecture halls, meeting halls, and it's supposed to be open by fall 2027 and have pretty big impact on the region, if students stay, of course, after they graduate.
Tom, why did you all have this? What was the impact that at the Business Courier you all said, hey, we really need to have this one on our list too?
So as Sydney mentioned, it's kind of twofold. It's the idea that this helps Xavier University attract a different type of student than it's attracting today. So this is not something that's being offered, you know, otherwise in the area, and it is a boon for Xavier to have additional students. And then it's the idea that it helps fill that gap in medicine, because it's coming. Like, we can see with the baby boomers getting older, fewer people going into medicine, we are going to need doctors, we're going to need medical professionals. So we need to start thinking about ways locally to do as much as we can. And the idea being that once we get people here, we can retain them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Sydney, you mentioned Covington City Hall. I'm going to talk about, I live in Covington now, so I'm going to go a little, you know, local here and talk about Covington. Talk about Covington City Hall and why you felt like that project was worth having on your list in 2024 and 2025.
Because it's been an even longer time coming than some of the others on our list, at least. It's been in discussion for, 6-7 years now. And my colleague Jolene Almendarez has been covering it for the past 2 years or so. And finally, not only does Covington have land, but they have designs and they're moving forward with it. So I do think we'll see quite a bit rise out of the ground this year, which is why I included it on the list. And to be very clear, Covington has bopped around to different offices over the last, several decades, 5 decades, I believe. So they're finally going to have their own space to call home, which is a big deal.
Yeah. The city hall has kind of been like, oh, you want to use this building for something else? We'll move, right?
Right. Yeah. And Covington has a lot going on right now. I mean, speaking of the RS site, which was on the Business Courier's list, they need a space to consolidate all of their work.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that, Tom. The IRS site, which is, I think they're calling it the Central Riverfront
Covington Central River.
There
CCR.
We go.
Creedence, you know.
Yeah. There we go. We'll get you to sing in a minute.
Okay.
Tell us about that project. This is huge for the city, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, honestly, Lucy, this could have been its own story, its own cover, because there is so much planned for that redevelopment. And I think it's incredibly smart the way Covington is viewing this piece of property. So you're taking a negative. You're taking the loss of this big employer in the IRS, and you're saying, well, okay, what do we do with 20 acres in our urban core? Well, instead of, you know, picking one person and saying, okay, you master develop something, or instead of being like, well, can we find one user that's going to take 20 acres? They're like, we're going to remake a city. We're going to bring back the street grid. We're going to do urban walkable development that, you know, makes sense to reconnect to the rest of Covington. And it's been pretty impressive to see the pace they've moved along to put out RFPs, to put up requests for proposals to development teams for these different sites and to get things going.
And you mentioned the street grid. They're really looking to kind of put a neighborhood back together that was eliminated when that IRS building was built, right? I mean, this is housing, commercial, all kinds of stuff they're looking at.
It's everything that you know, was you would see in a city. And they want a good mix of uses. And I think they're getting some unique, interesting plans from different developers. You're seeing townhomes, you're seeing apartments, you're seeing plans for, an expansion of the of the convention center potentially. You're looking at a law and medical school from NKU. Just a lot of great uses that would all be coming together at this site.
Yeah. Sydney, a big renovation and expansion of the Duke Energy Center, Duke Energy Convention Center, I should say, is underway in downtown right now. Walk us through that project, where we are, and the kind of impact it's supposed to have.
Yes, been writing about this for what feels like forever, but you can finally see it. I mean, the convention center has been completely stripped down to its bones, its metal bones, and by the end of 2025, you'll see the finished product, I guess. We're talking a $200 to $240 million renovation that will not only make it a more attractive building for the city of Cincinnati and the county and all the visitors that might come to the region for conventions, but it'll also be easier to navigate, which is a problem that's been discussed widely about the convention center for years. It was just like dark and hard to get around. So now it'll be bright and inviting and easier for folks. And next door, not on the list, but next door will be a convention hotel. And that's also going to be connected. So that's a big deal for us to have these two developments next to each other that'll hopefully bring in the type of economic impact that we're looking for as a region.
Yeah, maybe easier to figure out which giant escalator you need to take to wherever you're going.
There's got
to
be like 12. I mean, that's something we should actually ask. How many will there be? And they're also building a 2-acre park across the street, which is, you know, kind of a first for downtown Cincinnati. Very excited about that one.
Yeah. Tom, are these more big projects underway than in recent years? You mentioned the Courier's done this for, I think you said this is the 9th year. Is this a lot for our region? And what does it tell you about Greater Cincinnati that there's so much big stuff happening right now?
So, Lucy, it is a lot. There is still a lot going on. And that's kind of in spite of the economic uncertainty we had earlier in the year and things with interest rates. Like, it's not easy to do development right now. So I think that's part of the reason why a lot of the projects have kind of a public component, or they're public entities, you know, UC or Xavier, these kind of larger entities that are able to do projects in this type of environment. But I think the other thing that you're seeing is that development is still happening in places where it's the best location for development. So projects that make sense kind of no matter what the economic atmosphere, these still pencil out. These still end up being a good plan, a good idea to do.
Yeah. What do you think, Sydney? What do you think it says about our region that there's so much big stuff happening right now?
I mean, I'm personally overwhelmed. It's a lot. We didn't talk about the expansion at the Cincinnati Open, the Lindner Family Tennis Center. That's a big one, too. It just shows that there are eyes on Cincinnati. Not only do we have really interesting local developers doing interesting work, but, you know, this investment in the tennis center by someone from out of town just means that we can attract more in terms of tourism, in terms of, you know, getting more residents to hopefully bolster our housing. There's a lot we need to do in order to prosper as a city. And I think all of this construction kind of signals that we're on the right track.
Yeah. And the Lindner Center, that was on your list,
that
too.
That was on our list, too. Yeah, that's a great investment for Mason. You know, I'm looking for, actually, I really want to get up there and see kind of the difference this coming year to see what it's looking like.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Sydney, you're talking about, you know, getting more housing and bringing people here. Cincinnati, I feel like, is a little bit ahead of its peer cities in terms of turning our existing buildings, especially downtown, into other uses, a lot of it housing, which feels really good that we're not facing some of the problems that other cities are in terms of their downtowns are really empty. Like, you know, you've got half of your workforce coming in to the office on a regular basis. Well, Cincinnati might have that, but we also have a lot more residents than we had 10 years ago.
Yeah, with a lot of office buildings being turned into apartments or condos or,
Yes.
A lot of exciting stuff to look forward to. Thank you all so much for being here. I've been talking with Cincinnati Business Courier Editor-in-Chief Tom Demaropoulos, who will sing for us next time. Right, Tom?
Next time.
Okay. And Cincinnati Enquirer Real Estate Enterprise Reporter Sydney Franklin. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lucy.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WBXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.